Welcome to Side by Side, a podcast where I, Robert Kwong, take you inside conversations with artists, creatives, healers, and warriors taking the charge in their transformational story. Today's guest is Effie Tsao, a life coach, entrepreneur, and community leader who brings experience and soul to her work and her personal journey. You can find her writing, as well as her own deep dive conversations with thought leaders such as Michael Singer through her online community spaces. In this conversation, we discuss the purpose of being healthy, Effie's journey from northern China to working and living as a digital nomad, and the nuances of communicating across multiple languages. You can find more side-by-side episodes at sidebysidepodcast.podbean.com. And if you'd like to connect with me about my services, please visit www.robertkwonhome.com. I have the pleasure of speaking with Effie today, and you and I met a little bit ago on some community calls, I think, and I was so excited to see another Chinese coach, another consultant. It's always fun to like connect with people where I think I have some more in common with them. So thank you for saying yes to having a conversation with me, Effie.
Oh, of course, Robert. I think also like we had that instant connection. When I heard you speaking, I think it was a coach community call, right?
Yeah.
And you were sharing your own experience, and I instantly connected with that, because I know with us coaches, like, we have no problem sharing our own kind of inner journey. But sometimes, like, you know, when you come from like a different background, sometimes it's a little hard to connect. But with you, I was like, I know exactly what he's talking about. So I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, to start, where are you right now? Because you've been a bit of a traveler, you know, recently. So where are you right now?
Yeah. So me and my husband, Lincoln, we're in Alachua, Florida right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a bit of a random place. But if you've heard of Michael Singer, who's an author. Yeah, he wrote, three best-selling books now. So The Untethered Soul, The Surrender Experiment, and Living Untethered most recently. So an organization, nonprofit organization called Temple of the Universe, he founded 50 years ago, is located right here. So about 15 minutes drive from where we live. So that's the primary reason why we chose to stay here for a couple months. And we're actually thinking about moving here. Just so you know. Yeah, but for the past 2 years, Link and I have been digital nomading. We used to live in New York City for over a decade, both of us, and just when COVID hit, and we decided to, you know, during COVID, a lot of people start to kind of go inward, right? Like trying to say, like, where else can I explore, sort of in terms of sort of psychological development, if you will. And being a coach myself, I'm very sensitive to like my energy, right? Like, does the current environment work to its conduit in terms of my own sort of energy kind of releasing and like connecting with like stuff that would keep me open? So at the time, about 2 years ago, and I was going through some stuff at work. Yeah. And that's when we decided, you know what, maybe New York isn't, you know, the answer for us. And we decided to like sell everything. So we kept our kind of belongings to a minimum. We stored some still in New York, and we almost like just took very essential stuff with us, and we start to kind of travel around the world while working. Still, I'm an independent coach and also have a personal development community partnering with my two other great friends. And my husband is also able to work remotely. So that's how we were able to kind of live this life. Yeah.
Well, before we just started recording, I checked in with how you're doing and what's life been like recently. And you kind of shared that you had some, I guess, like learning moments relative to like what you need right now and how to prioritize some things that are important for you. So do you want to share a little bit of what's been going on?
Ooh, yes. That's the juicy stuff.
If you're open to it,
Oh yeah, of course. And you know, just for the audience, I think Robert, this will be your first time to hear the story, because when we
Yes.
last connected, I was, you know, in quite good shape, right? Like we chatted a lot about our own sort of coaching journey.
Yeah.
And I think I was telling you like, you know, life is perfect, blah, 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 you know, like it's so great. And I think it was maybe about a week or 2 weeks later, I got sick. Nothing major. I think it was one of the virus that we caught when we were in Portugal just last month, actually, or a little over a month ago. So it was at the tail end of our European kind of journey. So I didn't really take it that seriously because it's just cold symptoms. So all the cold symptoms were gone, but coughing, right? Coughing stayed persistent. So I kept coughing, and I was, you know, just being someone who's super kind of just relied on modern medicine. I was like, I'm just gonna keep on taking whatever meds, right? Like, and this cough will be gone. Yeah, and then it didn't. So it lasted for a couple of weeks. So at the beginning, I was like, it's okay, something I can overcome. You know, like how Westerners, like we do everything for like work, right? Like we wanted to make sure we deliver. So like, at least for me, right? Like I always like put my body last, sadly. So I kept trying to like suppress it. I try to do different things to like suppress caffeine just so that I can still work. And especially for me, like as a coach, I talk, you know, talking is my primary kind of way to like work. And for most people too, right? So when it dawned on me that there was literally one day it's just nonstop, nothing works, right? Like the coughing just couldn't, I couldn't suppress it anymore. So that really sent me to a downward spiral mentally. And I've never had that experience before, meaning I've never had being in a mental space where I literally didn't know what was happening to me. The only thing I know is that I couldn't get up. Like I don't even want to get up. It's almost like you walk into the room and somehow the light switch got turned off and you don't know where it's located, why it's off, why there's like just so dark. And at the time, I couldn't bring myself to it because I was like, this is just coughing. Like, what's wrong? Like, what? That's right. So, but I just can't. But luckily, I got really great support at work. My clients, they all understand and they, you know, postpone the calls. And my other role being a startup founder, you know, my two other, you know, business partners slash friends, like they just like they're like, Effie, just turn off your phones, like don't even check messages, don't like just, you know, lie down or do whatever you need, we're okay here. So thankfully for them, I was able to kind of, you know, just turn off for a couple of days. But I think even during that time, I find myself still wanting to like, what if I got left out? Like, what if there's something important happened that I didn't, you know, like I still have that part of my productivity mind trying to be productive while I was literally couldn't. And, you know,
Is it like FOMO, you know, fear of missing out? Like there's something, what if there's something interesting happening and I can't be a part of it?
there was a bit of that, but I think more to that. Maybe this is the part you can relate to, you know, growing up in China or like Eastern culture, like we're pretty much like very collective minded or oriented, right? Like I think of not being able to work means I can't, you know, there's part of the responsibility couldn't be fulfilled, so that someone else has to pick up the slack. Or, you know, because of the nature of the startup, you know, it's an online community, right? Like there's things constantly happening, activities happening, and we have like, you know, co-creators who help like curate activities for us. And so like there's this sense of responsibility in me that always says like if I gave that thing, a voice that's like the almost like a parent voice, right? It's like, you can't be the one who dropped the ball, right? Like, that's not you. Get up, do your thing. It's more like that. And I think it all affects how I identify myself as, right? Like, I used to identify myself as like a coach who help other people, and also this online community. How am I gonna describe it? Like, maybe like an owner, curator / leader. In a way, right? Like, it's, I feel like people, you know, they look up to me to be able to like have things go as smoothly as possible in a way, right?
Mm-hmm. You feel responsible.
Yeah, right? Totally. Yeah. So when that part, I couldn't fulfill that part, and I don't know who I am anymore, right? Or, I mean, right now I'm making it like that, but at the time, you know, when you were like in that kind of hole thing, you start to like exaggerate stuff, and right? Mine would have its thing to be like, oh no, you can't be like that. And then, you know, if you're not a coach, you're not this and that, then who are you? Like,
wow. That, you know, thank you for sharing from such a raw and like vulnerable place about your journey, because I think these are the pit stops that we all make as like independent entrepreneurs and business people, as these things come up that we have to like, you know, learn from. One of which is interesting that you found out when you had to prioritize your health and your well-being, that it was doable and that people understood and that it was fine and it wasn't impossible. So like, what happened after that? You were just like, who am I now?
Oh my gosh. But something that you said, I just want to highlight quickly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something about prioritizing personal wellness and health is possible. Even that, for me, I can't believe it took me such a journey to even come to that. Mm-hmm. So now I think I have more, I definitely would have more empathy towards people who, you know, especially clients who, you know, come to me for, you know, supporting their own personal growth. Even though, as you know, as coaches, like, we don't typically deal with like personal trauma or like healing stuff, but still, right, that's part of our journey too, right? If at some point and you were really in a deep hole, you don't know what happened. Now I actually do understand like what that experience could feel like. It could literally feel like a mountain you couldn't climb at the time, right? It's like impossible. Yeah, but now I'm on the other side of the mountain, I think. I think what definitely helped is, you know, maintaining a really good, healthy routine. I used to just get up when I feel like so, or if I have an activity or a client call, and I'll be like, okay, I'll get my day rolling. And now it's really just look at my own personal well-being, is what would work for me. I'm a big meditator. So I realized, you know, if I just allow my day to go as whatever the work or project drives me to, then all I can do is like find a couple minutes here and there and meditate, almost as like a, if I have time, I'll go for it type of thing. But now it's my priority, number one priority. So I get up like 5:30-ish in the morning, and I, you know, I do my morning meditation, and then in the afternoon I'll do another one, each for about an hour, right? So that really helped me to like get my life together in a way. And I wouldn't, that way, like, I wouldn't just be constantly distracted by, oh, this person wants this and that person wants that, and I need to like, fulfill everyone's priorities that way. Yeah, so self-care, wellness, that's number one important learning. And the other thing is, I also study Buddhism. So some of the Buddhist teachings really helped a lot. And it really connected with Michael Singer's teaching. So the person who wrote Surrender Experiment, and we're near the temple that he founded. So we go there for some of his talks, right? And he would talk about surrender, which means, you know, first part, you got to accept reality. If this is what's happening in your life, that's reality. So there's really no need for us to go like, oh, I don't like that. Oh, I like that more. Oh, I hate this. I like that. So you go about your life trying to like manipulate so that in a way everything works your way. But in fact, that's not how life works, right? Like, we know how many times do we try to like make things happen the way we want, and eventually it's like, what? No.
Well, yeah, I connect with that, what you're sharing so much, and, you know, in some of what you share about your work as a coach and kind of mm-hmm. your philosophy, mm-hmm. you talk about a lot of people don't know who we are or what we're like when we're not on autopilot anymore. Mm. If something happens that disrupts the way that we have been on autopilot, which is a phrase that many people resonate with, mm-hmm. suddenly it's like, who am I when that is no longer functioning or sustainable, right?
Yeah.
But then it can open this amazing new space for you to be able to choose or explore and to get curious. And you talk about your wow. love of like personal transformation, right? Mm-hmm. One thing I heard, by the way, this is just something I picked up in your journey relative to your well-being, is like the question of like, what is my health for? Mm. Like, what am I being healthy for? What is my health meant for? Right.
Wow.
And it sounds like there's a part of it that's like, it's meant for me in addition to other people.
I have goosebumps while you're saying that. You're such a great coach, Robert. I love the way how you like elegantly just put everything together. And it's like illuminating now for me. It's like my personal gold that's being dug by you. It's like, whoa. Like, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, to share a little bit about me, you know, I went through like a health journey. I mean, health is so important and fundamental for me, but I really felt like I had no choice but to consider that during 2020 onward. It was kind of like, if I don't make space for my health or try to prioritize it, I wasn't sure that I would be able to work, like, you know, like you're saying. So for me, it was very much like looking at the well-being, like emotional well-being, mental health, looking at physical health and all of it. But yeah, the amount of things that can come up as you are relating to yourself, you know, it was both really transformative, but there were definitely points where it was so hard. And I think I wish I had maybe shared a little bit more during that time how difficult it was, because I didn't really, you know, I just kept showing up for the coaching training, but it was really difficult. I understand now why sometimes they say, like, sometimes coaching and taking care of your health don't have to happen at the same time. Sometimes take care of your health and then start your coaching journey, you know, as a client or whatever. But at least that happened for me. It was like, I can start this personal journey once I kind of get to this place relative to my well-being, you know what I mean? Yeah.
So well said. And I also can't understand why we couldn't separate that before, because it can be scary for anyone who all of a sudden it's one thing to know you're in autopilot mode. It's another to be so courageous to say to yourself, okay, I'm going to hit a pause now.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. Yeah. It's saying no. I felt so often when I was trying to prioritize my well-being that I was just missing out and turning down and kind of losing all these opportunities for growth or progress and stuff. And I cannot tell you how difficult it was to say that. I literally think my health is more important right now. And having to make that choice really sucked.
Oh,
but it's like,
my God.
Nothing's more important than my health, because like without that, I can't do any of the work I want to do.
Exactly. I mean, it's simple as that, but it's just so hard for us to vocalize that. It's like, my health is so important that I couldn't do other things. I will prioritize my health. Like, before that, sort of all of that happened, I can't even imagine myself saying that. And I remember there was this almost this like sense of embarrassment to bring it up to someone, even just
shame.
Little things. I had shame too, right? To tell people, hey, you know what? I really couldn't show up, or hey, you know what? I don't feel well. Sometimes mentally, that's even more like hard for people to.
Yeah, because you feel like that's not a serious thing, right?
Yeah, for me, it's like, it was the worst part of myself, right? I would tell myself, like, what's going on with you? Like, it's just coughing. Like, you can't even handle that? Like, deal with that? It's coughing, everyone coughs. Like, what's the big deal? And wow, we can be so harsh with ourselves.
We can. And it's just like, I had to, so many times, I just had to come back to this kind of like, are you able to be gentle and like treat yourself with consideration or not?
Oh my God. Because
if not, we will come back here again. I was like, oh my God, don't you know we need money? Like, da da da, right? It's just anyway, this conversation, thank you for being so open with this because, you know, during the peak of my struggle, I really struggled to talk about it because it felt like such a admitting that, you know, almost felt like a loss. So I appreciate you being able to hold this conversation with me. You know, in thinking about coaching and the impact of our work, I know you also work in multiple languages, right? Yeah. English and Mandarin Chinese. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about this before when we connected on our previous call, but are there like coaching concepts or ideas that you found really kind of tricky to translate into Mandarin, or maybe even vice versa? Some things in Mandarin came out that was hard to convey in English kind of.
Wow. Accurately. So many.
I know.
I think I'll answer it on two levels, almost, or two layers. The first layer would obviously just be like on the language level, right? Like there are certain words that literally you can't directly translate. I'll give you a quick example, like the concept of completion. I know even for, you know, English speakers, right? Like it's an interesting concept to grasp. I remember when we first, or at least when I first learned about completion, for completion, for me at least, it means, you know, it's a state of being you reached, right? So it's not necessarily like something at the end or complete or finish as how we say in our normal life. But in coaching, right, there's this state of being that when we refer to completion, right, then there's the energy, there's no more burdensome energy that comes with whatever this thing you want to feel complete about. So then in Chinese, there isn't a word for basically the state of being you were able to complete.
Right. I'm just thinking of like completing your work. That kind of complete.
Yeah.
Right. But
well,
there's
Chinese word for that, but not the level that we're trying to work at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there are many are like that. So in terms of, for example, essence, right? Someone, to describe someone is in the highest and best version of themselves, right? Like, what's your essence? Like, Robert, your essence, I think, is care, this light, this wisdom, right?
Oh. I'm so awkward sometimes when people like compliment me. I'm like, thank you.
To me, you are that, right?
I
remember my essence words were, I mean, there's something about my energy, and there's this magical kind of being that I present to people, and this sense of joy, you know, that sort of thing. So then in Chinese, I often struggle to find a direct translation that would best capture its whole meaning.
Yeah.
So the way how I sort of almost try to bypass all of that is to, instead of like trying to struggle to find the word, I try to like use maybe metaphors or different ways to get at the idea, right? So in terms of essence, sometimes I have my clients do activity or exercising, like, well, you could ask people to like collect your diamonds, right? Like, so like when I use a metaphor like that, people understand it's like diamonds in you, like how you show up in a room, right? Like things that people can spot right away, that type of thing, like the energy that you exude. And then for completion, there's still like not a really nice and accurate way to describe it very cleanly. So I host workshops now to like about completion. So I take people through a journey, right? Yeah. That how you usually would help people to kind of get at completion, right? So I use different prompts and questions to do that.
Yeah. I thank you for saying that, because, you know, in doing, exploring that in groups, as we have, you kind of understand it's not like an idea. For example, completion, getting complete, it's an experience,
it's
something you take yourself through.
Exactly.
And it's not like a definition of a word, like as an idea, and that's what it is. But this is very much like it's a personal journey.
Yeah.
You know, we need to get there.
So I mentioned there's like two layers, right? So now the second layer that I try to look at, like Miku Jin in two languages, is rather than like thinking or struggling, trying to like match words with words with meaning, that sort of thing. I now try to like really take a step back and like go to the fundamentals, which is like connecting with clients here and now. You know, when I first started coaching, I tried to like throw all those fancy coaching terms. And that's when I struggled the most, to trying to find exact wording or like translation, all that. But now as I, you know, accumulate more experience, I realize it's the fundamentals. Like, can you feel what your client is experiencing right in this moment?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's a matter of, it might not be a matter of like asking a question, a powerful question. It might be just sitting with them and like literally connect on like all different aspects. So like not just from like seeing what they are doing, you know, with their like body language or hearing the words they use, but also like what kind of being they're in. Like, are they a little agitated actually? But in fact, they're saying like all of these things that's supposed to be, you know, going really well in their life, but like you kind of spot that kind of energy and connect that way. So I find that's the sort of the bridge that helped me to kind of overcome the barrier of language.
Well, I love that because, you know, you have been working in the West, in America, for quite a while now, but you grew up in China, which is, you know, I'm sure quite different. I am curious a little bit of like, what was life like growing up in China? Which part of China are you from?
So I am, you know, it's a little long-winded story, but I was born in the northwestern part of China's very small industrial town. It actually, I don't think it was currently livable right now, so it's like an industrial town, but like over time, you know, when the development was done in that area and people move out, like they move to the bigger cities and whatnot. So now my family, we live in Xi'an, which is also northwestern part of China, but it's a much bigger and more kind of well-known city to the Western world. So that's where the terracotta soldiers are. the emperor buried all those like amazingly made terracotta soldiers underground, and then like people discover them.
I hope I can see it one day.
it's beautiful. It's one of the things that just instantly took your breath away. For me, like, always put me into perspective is like, yes, we share this planet with tons of people and ancestors before us thousands of years ago, and the life that they led, right, like was captured in that way. So you were able to, sometimes I was like, because they're like real person height, you know, even horse,
right,
like
each real of them.
Each of them, and you have different facial expressions. So my experience growing up in China, like I mentioned earlier, is very collective oriented, right? Like we're supposed to think, you know, family first, you know, if you're in school, like classes, you know, different classes, and everything we do, almost, at least my own experience, right, is like our individual sort of thoughts and concerns and feelings are almost like kept in a minimum. But now I know, now is very quite different. Like, students are encouraged to express themselves freely, like in different ways, very creative, right? But at least when I was growing up, a lot of things, like in the morning, right, we would like form like in a square shape, like all students, right? Like you're supposed to like line up very nicely with each other. So like, you know, you present as a class and very neat. I don't know how to even describe that. But there's still like a lot of fun things out of that, right? Like everyone thinking about like, how can we best present our class in different ways? But it's very rare, at least for me, to think about what do I want growing up. But that happened later, I think, naturally. I think that's what brought me kind of abroad even.
Like,
I guess I want to experience something differently. Like, put myself first and see how that goes.
Following your curiosity a little bit. And I guess I see that spirit in you, because you also have interviewed people, held conversations with people, tried to ask questions, including Michael Singer.
Yay!
That interview I saw.
Oh.
And it was available in dual languages, which is pretty cool. It took time to actually produce that. I'm curious now, given that you also like asking people interesting questions and knowing their story, like what about that is so fascinating to you?
Having conversations with the people is probably my number one like favorite way to express myself in a way, right? Because I firmly believe that the way how we understand ourselves is through connecting and sort of bumping with the world, like something that you know you say and other people say it differently, you're like, oh, that's how the other person think that, and then you think about how you relate to that. So like that's a way for me to like understand my own being, right? Like who am I, sort of thing. And the other thing is truly like, especially that interview you mentioned with Michael Singer, I find that, you know, sometimes even we, you know, read books that people, you know, people wrote, and you get the theories, you get the stories, but it's only when you sit down and have conversation like this, you get almost the backstory of how that came about. Like, for example, I got so curious about Michael Singer when he talked about there's a good chunk of his life, early on, like when he was young, he was exploring spiritually, and all he knew was meditating, right? So he closed himself off because of that. So he would go to, like, for example, a community thing or a conference or something, but he would choose to like wear like a silent sign, meaning like he would refuse to just talk to people. Mm-hmm. And he would just meditate a whole lot. And being a meditator myself, I'm like, how did that work out, right? So then like in the book, and he quickly said, well, that's, I think there was something about like him deciding not to do that anymore, but there was not too much into it because he has such a rich experience to share, right? But then during the interview, I got so curious about that sort of, to me, that sounds like a pivotal moment when someone was so like, you know what, I'm just gonna not talk to people and just, because I had that sometimes, right? Be like, what would life be like if I just completely like just be on my own, right? Living my own sort of world. And so I asked him that, and he told me a really nice story about it too, like how that really isn't the way how if you want to continue to grow spiritually, especially because a lot of people think spiritual growth, they connect that with like meditating or some other things you try and do. But in fact, he made a great point in that life really is your guru, right? Like you really just embrace what life brings to you. And it's in that, you know, you're doing what the best of you can with what's right in front of you versus thinking there's this special journey I can take or go to the woods and be with yourself or go travel the world constantly type of thing. In a way, that's actually escaping, right? Escaping life. So I couldn't possibly get all of that from just reading his book. So it's really nice to have a chance to sit down with someone to, you know, almost like compare notes. It's like, I made a note that this might be a very special moment for your life. Is that so? And if so, what happened? I think that's why I love having conversations with people.
Yeah, very much so. I do enjoy spotlighting people's work, of course, when they also want to do that. But I think I just really love trying to understand the human behind the work that we all benefit from. So, because that's where the work came from, right? So I'm very much, I think I always want to talk to people because I'm just like, where did this come from, right? Or where did this, you know, musicians, like, where do you think that came from, this album or whatever, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Because I think as a creative, I'm just endlessly curious about how people create things and make things.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, wow, that's so amazing. I would have never thought of that. Where did that even come from? Or what would make someone decide to take on a journey of silence, devoted silence? I am very much like that person, particularly, I think, growing up, I was always being like, who am I? Right?
Wow.
Like, what do I want? And I think that makes us naturally really curious about like, well, how do other people do it? So I think I tried to answer that by being like, I don't know, how do other people figure this stuff out?
How do other people figure out being human?
Right.
Because it's actually really hard and it's ever evolving. Right? And it's I don't, at least for me, like I don't ever think I would have an answer to the question of who am I. Right. You asked me earlier, like, have you, like, you know, when my sense of identity kind of collapsed during my whole coughing journey, I guess. And you asked me again, like, so are you still thinking about it? Who am I? The answer is, yes, I am still. And who am I? I don't know. And that's the best part, I think, is the part, the unknown that continue gets me up every day, be like, what's life in store for me today? Like, what? I'm sure there are parts that I would not enjoy as much as I think, but now I know better, I feel like, right? Even from that journey, when I was like, literally like lost my voice, you know, there was something amazing came out of that. So what do I know? I truly know nothing. Humbles me every day now. It's like waking up, I don't know squat. Like, what?
Awesome. You know, it's like, you know, in tarot cards, that's the very first card, it's the Fool. And I always say I try to embody the Fool when I, as I'm taking on like a new chapter or like a new training or you know, program or something. Because I was just like, be willing to ask the dumb questions, or like, don't be embarrassed to ask the questions like you know absolutely nothing, so you get the most out of it. So I try to embody the Fool, because that can be a very powerful place to start. It's like the beginner's mind, right?
Wow, thank you for saying that and sharing. I don't know anything about the tarot cards, but that's wow. What, you know, sometimes like things in our life, like they connect that way, right? Like, who would know, like tarot cards has all the wisdom that we already talked about, basically. And like asking sort of dumb questions to me, in my own coaching, those turn out to be the best questions for my clients. And it's not coming from a place of, I already know what's going on with you. Like, it's always coming from like, wow, genuinely curious, like, what that experience like for you,
right?
Tend to be the best questions to connect with people.
And like, you know, nonetheless, you know, I'm so glad to hear that you're, you know, recovering.
Yes,
your voice sound great. And you know, you are still a coach who is being of service and supporting clients and other coaches and things like that. So, you know, even as you rest up, I do want to ask you, like, what are some things that you're looking forward to this year for your work or your work journey? And if people want to connect with you, what's the best way to do that?
It's a great question. So I'll answer the first part first, which is, you know, what do I have in store for the year? If you asked me like just a couple weeks back, right, before I got sick and all that, I would tell you all the exciting projects that I'm up to, right? I'd be like, this, and that. And now I actually, it's quite nice coming out of this whole being sick journey is that I want to intentionally create a lot more space for what's next. That being said, though, I think there's this central theme in terms of what I'm up to is continue to kind of serve in a very integrated way, meaning like I am committing to like stopping myself to separate. Oh, here's the me, you know, when I'm not working. Here's me, I'm working, so that I need to like put out the best self, meaning do not cough during... during your calls, like that's ridiculous, right? And that being said, right, like I continue connect with more people. I now worry less about, oh, am I getting enough, you know, pipelines for my work, for my coach work?
Right,
I worry less, so much less about that. I sincerely believe that the things, when I'm in a really good place, very peaceful, integrated, like mind, body, spirit, that type of thing, right? Like centered. And then I have more things that I want to share with the world. So I started actually writing differently, and I start to post on my own social media, and people connect with me sort of on a different level now. So people naturally, they come to me. Some of them, they are seeking, you know, coaching. Some of them, they have a question about what I wrote, and we just naturally have a conversation from that place. And before I might think, oh, that might lead to something, right? Like work generated. Now I'm stopped thinking like that. I think I'd rather just let this beautiful thing unfold itself. Yeah. So that's on the coaching front. And then I also build workshops. I continue to build workshops that truly like coming from my experience. But then I'm also trying to thinking more practically for people who perhaps haven't had those, you know, dramatic experience, or, you know, in each of us individuals, and we have our own kind of filter towards our own experience anyway. So what I can do also is to kind of just bring down some of the essential, maybe there's a structure, maybe there's like sort of methodology that I can take people through so that they don't necessarily have to go through something like
yeah, save like you some pain and challenges.
Shame,
yeah.
And exactly, and calm, all that. Yeah, so that's what's going on. You know, we have this nice online community in Chinese. It's called 爱与星球. Ai means love. Yu means 给予, means give. 星球 means planet. So mm-hmm. it's a planet where you can give love. But the way how you give love is also like receive love too. And then you feel something and then you give out. Yeah, so if people are interested, if you haven't speak Mandarin and want to check out our community, you can go on WeChat accounts and search for 爱与星球, and that's that should come up. And yeah. And then in terms of my personal work, I have a website. Maybe I can
Yes, I can link it. And you can also, for listeners, what's the web address?
Yes, yes. So it's my first name, Effie, E-F-F-I-E, and then my last name, Cao, so it's spelled C-A-O. So effiecaocoaching.com. That's it. Yeah. So you'll be able to find all the contact information there.
Awesome.
Also. Yeah. I also have, you know, podcast hosted with my husband, but it's in Mandarin Chinese. I can also, you know, share that.
I didn't know there were so many Chinese coaches. I, for the longest time, I was like, I guess I didn't see that in my cohort as much. So it's been really nice to be like, oh my God, there are so many coaches who are Chinese. So,
yeah. And the nice thing about our background is that we are able to kind of think in different sort of cultural backgrounds, right? So that for me, I mean, it makes me versatile enough to understand this is something that you said you experienced, but if for some reason I couldn't connect or relate to that, there might be an opportunity for me to inquire more about maybe it's their, you know, cultural background that had them think so, or there's, you know, there's different way to view culture also. It might be like socioeconomic thing, or becoming like speaking a different language at home versus at work, that could also cause, you know, different sort of challenges too. So that at least allow me to connect people in different facets.
Yeah, I mean, I think so much of what we're working with is really about working on our ability to like express ourselves and communicate with each other. I mean, that's so fundamental to and deeply impacts your life experience and how you experience life. So the things we work on, I think, are kind of subtle sometimes, but oftentimes they're the kind of the foundations for us to be able to achieve the things we want. So thank you for doing the work and for showing up. Also for modeling what it's like to prioritize your health. Truly, I think people sometimes, it's not fun, but I do think sometimes we have to be able to give each other permission to just be human.
Oh,
and to make
wow.
it okay.
Wow.
Because, you know.
Giving each other permission to be human. I gotta write that down.
Right. So, you know,
words
this way
wisdom.
It's okay that people, you know, fall under the weather and have to take care of themselves.
Because sometimes the part that we couldn't or we felt shame to admit that we don't feel well might not be coming from the human side. It's like this identity that we imagine we adopt.
Right.
But in the end, we're just humans. We have all sort of experiences.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, it's been really nice to connect, you know, human to human, as we say, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what your new chapter is like. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for connecting with me today.
Thank you for inviting, Robert. This has been so nice. Honestly, I haven't been able to. I talked about my experience in Mandarin Chinese, but this is the first time I talk about it in English. So sometimes when you process things in a different language, and especially with someone
right?
like you who does a beautiful job, like capture the essential learning from my journey, I was like, I am just so glad that, you know, we had this conversation. So thank you for all your wisdom.
Thank you for sharing your story so that, you know, the reflections can come up as well. Like that wouldn't have happened if you weren't willing to share your personal truth either.
Oh.
It takes two to tango, as they
say. Wow.
So,
you know. And we did a great job tangoing
today.
Yeah,
there you go. You know, conversation back and forth. But in any case, I appreciate you offering your time today. You know, continue to rest up and take care of yourself. I'm sure we will stay connected and keep in touch and everything.
Absolutely. So yeah. You too. Have a great rest of the day, Robert.